I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
WWE asked you guys to use Adam, and they didn't.
No.
And obviously, this is purely hypothetical. Had they asked, what would the answer have been?
Adam's in England filming a huge Hollywood movie.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Unlikely. It is a new year. 2026 is here, but also, this is episode 100. So who better to have than the CEO, the founder? Those are just a few of the titles of Mr. Tony Khan. Congratulations with all the success with the Jaguars, with AEW. And because it is episode 100, I make sure to make a point at the start of every interview that we have. We give out roses because we never know if we're going to have you on the show again. I just said we cracked 100 episodes. We just hit 150,000 subscribers. That doesn't happen without some of the conversations we've had with MJF, Samoa Joe, Ospreay, Tony Storm, and a lot of the AEW roster. So thank you for that. And also congratulations on a hell of a year with AEW, closing out the Continental Classic and World's End. How are you feeling, my friend?
I feel fantastic. Thank you, first of all, Adrian, and congratulations on 100 episodes. And I really appreciate you for having me as your guest for episode 100. That is fantastic. I feel great. I'm very blessed. I feel great to be here with you and talking about AEW. I'm here in Las Vegas celebrating because tonight are the Sports Illustrated Awards here in Las Vegas.
You might have won a couple, you and the roster.
Yes. Team AEW, we've taken home 10 awards at the Sports Illustrated Awards. Very excited, and I'm so proud to be invited here. And it shows, I think, what a great 2025 AEW's had. And all this great momentum we have going into Wednesday Night Dynamite. We're just hours away from the first Dynamite of the year. Wednesday Night Dynamite coming up very soon on TBS. Be on at 8 p.m. Wednesday Night Dynamite. And also you could catch it on HBO Max stream if you can't see it on TBS, the Superstation. The first Dynamite of the year, we're going to start 2026 on Dynamite with a bang. But also 2025, what a year. You know, in 2024, I was not invited to the SI Awards, and AEW did not win all those awards. And this year, we won so many awards. I'd love to give all the wrestlers their flowers, please, if I may.
100%.
And as you do, and I'd love to now bring them into the conversation because I think it's very noteworthy. We had the male wrestler of the year, Hangman Page, the female wrestler of the year, Mercedes Moné, the tag team of the year, FTR, the breakout star of the year, Kyle Fletcher, the best interview, the best promos in wrestling, best talker, timeless Tony Storm, the best in-ring wrestler, Will Ospreay, the best rivalry, Hangman Page versus the incredible Jon Moxley.
100%.
Former Las Vegas resident. And then, of course, the best story in wrestling, the redemption of Hangman Page. And Sports Illustrated gave the award for the best wrestling show of 2025 to AEW Double or Nothing, which also started right here in Las Vegas, not far from here. And the best wrestling promotion of the year in 2025, taking home 10 awards for AEW. Very excited about AEW being the pro wrestling promotion of the year as voted by Sports Illustrated's panel of journalists. And again, we didn't win that in 2024, and really it was a goal to have a strong year and to show people AEW is where the best wrestle. And I think we've done that. So I really appreciate you having me as your 100th guest. And Hopefully I caught all 10 of the awards there.
Yeah, I think you checked, Mark, and if not, I know the comments will say if we miss one, but I think you got all of them. And you did mention something, Double or Nothing, where it started here in Vegas. I'd be remiss for those that are watching here in Las Vegas and listening on the radio. AEW is coming back home. It's not Chicago. I know that's your home, but to me, AEW's home is here in Las Vegas for Dynamite and Collision. February 4th, you can get your tickets, AEWtix.com. And you just listed off the incredible 2025. So we're going to start this off with a difficult question. You have to pick one moment out of last year that you are the most proud of. What would that be?
One moment. I think AEW All in Texas as a day came together, and so many incredible things came together that day. It was frankly, the Friday and Saturday bled together for me, because we had the Super Card of Honor with the amazing Bandido versus Takeshita match that I think was one of the best matches in the world.
100%.
And then hours later, we were back in Globe Life Field for AEW All in Texas, which set the AEW all-time record for tickets in North America. And we'll be going back to AEW in London next year, where we set the all-time record for pro wrestling anywhere in the world for tickets sold. I've got the trophy in my Jags office from Live Nation for over 80,000 tickets. In fact, over 81,000 tickets sold over 80,000 for a nice round number on the trophy, but we actually sold over 81,000 tickets for AEW All in London. We'll be going back there this year, but if I had to pick one moment, I think it was that really 24-hour period coming out of Supercard and how everybody delivered. AEW All in Texas was a phenomenal event. And what really is incredible, there were so many fantastic AEW shows this year. And it's pretty cool, I think. You had Sports Illustrated, as I mentioned, they picked Double or Nothing as the best show of the year. ESPN has now picked AEW Revolution as the top show of the year. They also picked FTR as the tag team of the year, which I think is great that FTR swept tag team of the year in ESPN and Sports Illustrated and many other awards for FTR, those top guys. But also to have Kyle Fletcher win the breakout wrestler of the year in Sports Illustrated and pretty much every award category so far, he's won that breakout wrestler of the year from all the different publications. But I thought it was really neat going back to these top events. I thought it was cool you had AEW Revolution as the ESPN pick. You had AEW Double or Nothing as the Sports Illustrated pick. And a lot of fans would possibly say that AEW All in Texas.
That would be mine. That's the unlikely pick of 2025. So it's been fantastic. And look, I want to, if this wasn't the 100th episode and the glitz and glamour that I'm putting to it, we would typically start the interview with a little bit of silliness. So I'll ask it now. The one thing I enjoy as a dad in showing my...
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try Assemble and Bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Son, AEW, when it's on TBS and when it's on TNT with Dynamite and Collision, is TBS and TNT have a lot of spectacular movies that is on there, whether it's before the show or after, whether it's Independence Day to a DC movie to Star Wars. Now for you, what's one that you look on the schedule and go, okay, this is following us, I like that synergy, I like that with something that they show there?
Well, I think a lot of times I look more at the lead-in.
Yeah,
so
of course.
We have great, so, you know, for TV, for TBS, we've got a great thing going with the Big Bang Theory as the lead-in. It's been tried and true since the beginning of AEW on TBS. Big Bang Theory going into Dynamite. We love you, Big Bang Theory fans. And anytime you stick around and watch AEW, we love it and really appreciate it.
It's
and
consistent and stands
it,
out.
Baby. It is a Wednesday block that has worked really well. Now, on TNT, you get some really great movies as lead-ins. I think anytime we get a great DC movie, that's my favorite. But we've had some great Star Wars movies and some other really great things. We've got a great synergy and partnership with DC, though. And that's something that else really so many cool things in 2025. Full Gear was the first time DC has been the presenting sponsor for AEW.
The comics as well.
Yes.
Have been fantastic. My son loves those. You brought up Kyle Fletcher and being a breakout star. Absolutely phenomenal. And he wasn't the only contender from AEW. You could look at Harley Cameron and a couple others. But as we head into this new year, like for me, I'm looking at Jet Speed, Speedball, Mike Bailey.
By the way, to your point, I think ESPN picked Harley as the most improved.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic.
So that's another award we just won in the last 24 hours.
You got Kevin Knight. You got Speedball Mike Bailey. You got Brody King. People that I'm picking, I'm predicting to get some singles gold for 2026. Who are some of the people that you see really stepping up and elevating this year?
Well, absolutely. I think there's so many people that have delivered. One person I would be remiss if I didn't bring into the conversation is the man who will be challenging for the world title in 1 week at Maximum Carnage. Bandido, the ROH world champion, coming to fight MJF, the AEW world champion. And they're both going to be at Dynamite just hours from now, Wednesday night Dynamite on TBS and HBO Max. MJF will be there live, and Bandido has a match with a man who's got a grudge, and that's Sammy Guevara, whose tag team partner, Roosh, was taken out by Bandido. Bandido wasn't trying to do anything malicious, but it's been a long rivalry with Bandido and Roosh, and there was a match in November on Collision, and it actually ended up having a domino effect on a lot of things, because Final Battle, I had been planning Bandido and Roosh. Roosh hurt his knee, and we took some time to see how bad it was, and learning that Roosh wouldn't be able to participate, it led to crowning new tag team champions, Sammy Guevara and Beast Mortos. Can now be a great tag team, but Sammy's got a real grudge with Bandido, the man who took out Roosh, who I think Roosh and Sammy had great chemistry. I think it's some of the most exciting stuff Sammy had done in years, and I really like Sammy and Roosh as a team. I'm very excited now for Sammy and Mortos as a team. It's a great opportunity for Beast Mortos, who stepped up and along with Sammy won that ROH gold. But Sammy's going to want to take out Bandido before Maximum Carnage. And I think Bandido has been doing some of the greatest wrestling in the entire world. He's the most wanted man. People are coming after him. He's got a lot of people coming after him in ROH, too. He was recently attacked in ROH. So will Bandido even be 100% going into this match? But I do think Bandido is somebody that I would be remiss if I didn't bring up as somebody I think could be in conversation as one of the best wrestlers in the world, and somebody who absolutely could be the AEW world champion in addition to being the ROH world champion.
And what he just did in his hometown in Mexico, putting on a show for his community, was absolutely incredible.
He's a special person.
He is. I want to talk to you when it comes to creative. I know that in the conversations that we've had with talent, they've given you a lot of credit. I know in conversations the buzzword would be focus when it comes to not necessarily listening to 40 people's different opinions on how things should go. I want to ask you, was there a moment, was there a switch when it comes to 2025 and all the success and kind of all that?
Yes, it was around the holidays, and it was the 5-year anniversary of the last time. And it was one of those things where I had told myself at the end of 2019, a New Year's resolution, I want to be more focused. I've been trying really hard, but I know I can do better. And also, like you said, maybe instead of having tons of different people collaborate to put an outline together, I'm just going to do the outline myself, and I'll come in with a direction every single week of what I want to do on the show. And I made some real changes at the start of the year. And in January, I thought we made a real turn, and it kept momentum that went throughout the year. In February, we hit a home run with Grand Slam Australia, which was one of the biggest Collision shows, and I think one of the best Collision episodes of all time.
Best crowds, too.
Yeah. And then, to your point, Adrian, what a fantastic crowd. What a great crowd. And then we had the first ever AEW Revolution in the Crypto.com arena in Los Angeles, another one of my 5 home cities. And it was just a great, great show and a real honor to be there. And we'll be going back for Revolution, which again was voted as ESPN's best wrestling show of the year in 2025, which is a real honor. We rode that momentum throughout the year, had all these great events, Double or Nothing then, which was voted by Sports Illustrated as the best wrestling show of the year, and rode this momentum then for All in Texas and Forbidden Door, and had all these great events. We started doing pay-per-views on HBO Max, starting with All Out, And we just ended the year on such a...
Thank you for the $40 price point on HBO. You know what I'm saying?
Well, thank you for subscribing to HBO Max.
100%. Good quality content.
It's a great deal. And so this all led us to World's End. And we ended the year with a fantastic event. Like you mentioned, the Continental Classic, which I love. But I would be remiss if I didn't bring this up also, that AEW World's End, we've been told by HBO, is the most buys yet for any AEW pay-per-view on HBO Max. So we're continuing to grow. This is probably going to end up being one of the biggest World's End events ever. And so far, it's our biggest pay-per-view yet on HBO Max. So that's even more momentum.
I want to stick with the synergy of creative and World's End because something shocked me. I'll be 100% honest. I wasn't the biggest fan of the Death Riders and the angle. To me, to see at the beginning of that show with Jon Moxley, there was a little bit of sympathy. By the end, he was the crowd favorite as he's going against Okada. And I know that you talked to John Alba, great conversation you had with him, and you used the term misunderstanding. So this is a two-part question. First and foremost, how proud are you to know that you were able to take it from this man was being booed out of the arena and in the same year was also being cheered by everyone in the building? And then two, if you could go into some of the misunderstandings with the Death Riders and that angle.
I think that Jon Moxley made it clear from the beginning he was going to try to lift AEW, and he succeeded. And what a great way to look back at the year and recontextualize the whole thing. Do you like Better Call Saul?
Haven't watched. Or
really?
Breaking Bad, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a reference, but I don't want to spoil it for you here. But I'll just say this. Howard Hamlin. Maybe misunderstood at the beginning, and then more you see, the more you understand about Howard Hamlin. You ever see Saved by the Bell, the college years?
No.
Really? Okay. Well, it's Professor Lasky plays Howard Hamlin. It's a great reference. And I see I popped the crew with that.
Yes.
And so I would say that people maybe didn't see what he was trying with his intentions, but everything he said he would do, he accomplished. And then at the end of the year, it meant so much to me and so many people around the locker room to see the fans embrace Mox again like that. Mox has been with us since the very first show right here in Las Vegas. His arrival was a huge part of the beginning of AEW. He's been with us since the very first show, since the very first Dynamite. He comes to all the shows. He's such a huge part of what we do. And we're very blessed to have Jon Moxley in AEW. And throughout the year, the anticipation for somebody to take him down grew and grew and grew and grew. And I thought
you wanted to see that title. Get yeah. it out the damn briefcase.
It was brilliant. And that was John's idea. It was brilliant. He came, and I talked to John a lot. And I love John so much, and he's one of the most brilliant people, and I'm very grateful that he came into AEW in our lives. And that was when I talked to him about the things that I wanted to do. That was something, when we were brainstorming how this would all go, that was something he brought up. He had some brilliant ideas for the presentation of it, I think, in hindsight, that were brilliant ideas, including the briefcase and Marina's involvement, yeah. because I had brought up, you know, Claudio and Yuta already being there, but Pac, I thought, could maybe be great. And we talked, and I remember talking to John for like 3 hours before All In London last 2024. Yeah, we're in 2026 now, so 2024 All In London. I remember talking to John for like 3 hours, and just some brilliant things. And to think how far he was able to take it, and his resolution, I'm so proud of what AEW accomplished in 2025, and Jon Moxley's a huge, huge part of it. And that's why Sports Illustrated has voted Hangman Page versus Jon Moxley. And that great moment, we talked about All In Texas, getting the belt out of the briefcase, where Hangman did it, and Hangman accomplished it. He pulled it off, and now to have, you know, that be recognized as the top rivalry of the year, and so many awards that will be taken home tonight, 10 awards tonight at the Sports Illustrated Awards. I think it's really a great accomplishment, but also I think that when you look back at the year, the Death Riders have been so important, and they continue to be going into 2026. And one thing that's been consistent about AEW from the very beginning is Jon Moxley's a huge, huge part of this promotion.
And I want to flip it over to the women's division. I want to stick on that misunderstanding, because there's another storyline, there's another person in your roster that I think there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I could, there's a couple different reasons for that, in my opinion. And I want to talk about Mercedes Moné. Her story kind of reminds me of a roller coaster. All the titles is going up top, and now a roller coaster has to go down at some point, and I'll leave it as that. But, you know, with all the different promotions and talk of her having control over this, that, and the third, can you talk to me about the impact that she's had on the company and the women's division?
Well, I love working with Mercedes. I think she's one of the greatest wrestlers in the world. That is why Mercedes was picked by the journalists at both ESPN and Sports Illustrated as their female wrestler of the year. I think she's going to be winning all kinds of awards this year. Mercedes is fantastic, and she accomplished a lot in the past few years, winning up all these championship belts. At one point, I think she had 13 championships to her name. Maybe it was 13 was the unlucky number in hindsight.
At one point was the keyword in that phrase.
And it all ended very badly in 2025 after she had this incredible year, but it wasn't a happy ending. On New Year's Eve, she lost the TBS championship. You've got the TNT championship right here. She lost the TBS championship, and she's not doing well. But she's been so instrumental in so many of the best matches in the past few years. I have so much respect. Of course, the new TBS champion, Willow Nightingale, is now a double champion. A lot of belts in that conglomeration now with, it's really great.
It was a hell of a match to close out the year. What a moment.
Yes.
And, you know, to start the year, we had Wrestle Kingdom, you know, retired ace. Shout out to you, Tanahashi. And we saw someone in that ring that I am a personal, my favorite wrestler, which would be Will Ospreay.
Yes.
In terms of his health, and I know he's post-surgery with his neck, where are we at timetable-wise?
Well, I was just talking to him on my way over here to do this interview, actually. He's doing better, and I'm very grateful. You know, again, I'll be going to the SI Awards tonight, where the journalist picked Will Ospreay as the best in-ring wrestler of the year. And he didn't get to finish the year healthy. He was injured. He's been out since Forbidden Door, which was a huge success for us in London. And Will Ospreay is recovering from serious neck injuries. And I'm very grateful that Will Ospreay is in AEW. And I'm also very grateful that he's recovering and he will be back in 2026. I can't say exactly when, but I can tell you that in 2026, he will be back. And we're so excited to have Ospreay here. One of the great matches of the year. And I think one of the great reasons why Sports Illustrated picked Double or Nothing as the best show of the year. What a match, Will Ospreay versus Hangman Page, and some great moments leading into the match too, where both men said they would support the other. If whoever lost the match, they said, I'll support you if you support me. Let's go out there and fight and then have each other's backs against the Death Riders. And it was awesome.
And Revolution 2 with Kyle Fletcher in that cage match, the crazy Spanish fly spot. I do want to talk to you about All In, because we brought it up, success you've had in London, the success you had at Globe Life Park. It was great to be able to cover that. The energy in there was it's probably the favorite event that I've covered this past year.
Thank you.
And obviously the reason why it was in Texas was because Wembley Stadium was booked, and you guys are returning to Wembley Stadium. And I know that when it comes to 2027, with WWE going to Saudi Arabia for WrestleMania, there was a lot of conversation about, hey, we want a big show in the States, and everyone was looking at AEW. But outside of that, looking at the landscape, are there plans to have a massive, bigger event in terms of maybe attendance outside of an arena, where you have All In being in Europe, being at Wembley in London, and maybe Double or Nothing at a NFL where the Jaguars play, or wherever the case may be, to basically have a big tentpole event in the States or in North America?
I do believe in that, and I think that Revolution and Double or Nothing both are befitting of that status. So absolutely, depending on the situation, the timing, Double or Nothing and Revolution have both been so successful for us. So I think either, which again, they were voted the two best wrestling shows of the year by two of the top sports journalism outlets, if not the top two sports journalism outlets of all time. I know when we were kids, the two magazines were Sports Illustrated and ESPN, the magazine.
I was disappointed you said that you don't read SI Kids growing up, because I know that you're
reading. I read the level, real SI.
Yeah, but the SI Kids had the posters. I remember, dude.
Yeah, but you don't read posters.
Yeah, but we had the.
I had real posters, man. I had like boxing. I could get real. Like I had Mike Tyson, and you know, like boxing. I read boxing magazines, and I pulled the posters out of those. Well, and I had wrestling. I would take the photos out of Pro Wrestling Illustrated, and
well, you have to understand,
like, Magic Johnson. I had ever.
My dad, like, he wouldn't buy me too many stuff because I would take his credit card to buy ROH and PWG.
Yeah.
So first off, he'd be like, why are you buying porn with my card? And I'd be like, that's not what that is. It's professional wrestling. He still didn't like it. You know what? This is a perfect segue because you've talked about how your parents love Toni Storm and Orange Cassidy. And just listening to you tell stories about your dad taking you to ECW, like, I can't. My father would absolutely not.
Well, he didn't want to. He didn't want to take me to ECW.
But he loves did. You.
No, we made a deal, and I got it was a business agreement. I got admitted to the University of Illinois Laboratory High School. It was a bit of a bait and switch because all my friends were going to the Champaign High School.
Okay,
and I was at St. John's Lutheran, and I did not want to go to the University of Illinois Laboratory High School, which ended up being one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. We've had several Nobel Prize winners there. It's a great place, and I love Uni High at Illinois, but that's not where I wanted to go. And I was told that if I took the exam that I would not have to go there. I could just prove that I could get in, and that would be enough. Well, I got in, and then they made me go, and I was unhappy with this. So the remedy that we agreed, they said, come up with anything within reason you want, and we'll do it if you go. And I said, I want to go, and this was 1996, in the summer of 1996. I said, I want to go to ECW Arena. And I want to go to the ECW weekend of shows. And my friends are there, my tape trading friends, which were different, you know, especially back then, talking to people on dial-up internet and things of the past. I've been trading tapes on the internet since I was 12 years old. And
were there forums back then, or was it just strictly chat rooms?
There was forums, message boards, and chat rooms.
Okay. All right. No, please continue. I want to, this is knowledge. I like this. Please continue.
So yeah, I got into the school, and then we made a deal that even though they had told me and kind of tricked me into taking the test, I got in, and then they said, now you have to go. My mom actually broke down crying in a Champaign, Illinois McDonald's parking lot. And then I was like, oh, don't cry. And I was like, you're the ones who told me. You guys are the liars, not me. And I don't want to go. And so they said, well, you know, that's fair enough. Like, come up with something you want and we'll make a deal. And I really wanted to go. And I was the first time I ever met a lot of my tape trading friends who still come to the AEW shows now, 30 years later. And it's pretty cool.
No, it's incredible, man. Community, all off of the love of wrestling. And when it comes to them and some of their taste, one of the things I love about AEW is, and I can imagine it's been a difficult thing throughout these now going into year 7, is kind of changing the perception of what, like, an American audience thinks professional wrestling is. So, for example, you guys do the Lights Out match, cage match with Swerve and Hangman. I don't think people expected some of the physicality. Flip it over, Double or Nothing in Phoenix, and bodies hit the floors playing during a match, and there's absolute chaos. These are things we haven't seen before, which makes it so incredible on both ends. For your parents, what are some of their reactions to some of the things in terms of content?
That stuff's great. You know, they've never had a problem with anything that we've done. I think for my parents, they really like AEW. And the example I used is, I think there's different things for everybody, and we cover a lot of great things that a wrestling promotion can offer in one company. Different styles, different types of wrestlers, different personalities. So I'm really proud of what we built, and it's changed a lot. But I think right now we have the best roster. AEW's where the best wrestle, and we're getting healthy and bringing back all the top stars. You asked me about Will Ospreay, who's coming back in 2026, and all these fantastic people that have. You know, it's a mix of them that have either been in AEW for years, and we've had people join us along the way to get to this point. But like a sports team, the roster evolves. And I'm really proud of the season we just had effectively in 2025. And now looking into the next season, the only difference from pro wrestling is there's no off season. It's the only sport that goes 52 weeks a year with no breaks and is perpetually going. I love it, and I love it for that. We do new shows every single week, and we'll be back hours from now for Wednesday Night Dynamite. And we're coming back here, like you said, February 4th. We'll be here in Las Vegas. I'm excited for that. And I think it's really, really cool, like to your point, that when you talk about the perception, and I think it's really amazing for Sports Illustrated to put 10 awards, and I honestly believe we deserve these awards. And it's really cool because a year ago we did not win those awards, and other promotions took home more than we did. And I thought, let's work even harder. We tried really hard in 2024. We can do even better. And we'd already put a lot of things in motion in 2024 that we're building for 2025, things like the Death Riders, Toni Storm and Mariah May. And then in January, I kept writing those things, but also made some changes to other things. And we just had a fantastic year, and I'm really grateful to all the people who made it possible.
As we wrap this interview up, I want to go into a little speed round if we could. But before we do that, I would be remiss to ask, and Fightful and Sean Ross Sapp and everybody pay attention to the next question. Chris Jericho and his status. I checked the AEW website before this interview started. I see he's still in the roster. Is there anything, any insight you can lend to his status when it comes to AEW?
Well, first of all, I'm really grateful when I talk about people that have been here from the beginning and talk about that first show in Las Vegas. None of it would be possible without Chris Jericho, who's been instrumental in AEW from the very beginning. I love Chris very much, and I would say that Chris is always a big part of the AEW, and I think this promotion is here to stay, and Chris Jericho is a huge part of our history, and we're really proud of what we've been able to accomplish, and Chris is an instrumental part of it.
Absolutely. Let's go into the speed round. When it comes to presentation, one thing I enjoyed was the Darby Allin, John Moxley in the prison vignette, if you'd say. Can we expect more things like that in AEW television this year?
Well, I thought that was fantastic. Darby is a brilliant guy. Talk about people that have been here from the beginning. Darby Allin is such a great wrestler. He's accomplished so much. Talk about things that could change a perception of wrestling, to know that Darby Allin was the first wrestler ever to climb Mount Everest, one of few people ever to climb Mount Everest. And I never had one concern. Knowing him, I knew he would pull it off and do a great job with it, because that's the kind of athlete and human being that Darby Allin is.
Hangman Page did an amazing promo in Spanish in Mexico for Grand Slam. How was that presented? Whose idea was it?
That was Hangman's idea. It was a great idea. I didn't know his Espanol was that good.
It's better than mine, and I'm Hispanic.
Well, my Espanol es muy malo compared to Hangman Page's.
I want to ask you, a lot of people brought up wanting Adam Copeland to be a part of John Cena's final retirement run. People had asked you, did WWE ask you guys to use Adam, and they didn't.
No.
And obviously this is purely hypothetical. Had they asked, what would the answer have been?
Adam's in England filming a huge Hollywood movie.
Perfect. Was there any consideration, talking about this TNT title, Kyle Fletcher getting him a pink one?
It's an interesting thought. Kyle's presentation and a lot of those things, it's something that we hadn't really ever done. But, at some point, Kyle, his pink presentation is pretty special. So that's a good thought.
No, it's amazing and make a lot of big money. I purchase it.
But I'm really proud of the TNT champion we have now. He won a great, great match with Kyle Fletcher. And he won a great, great match against Daniel Garcia. And he's facing off against one of the top wrestlers in the world, in my opinion. Somebody who's had great matches this past year in AEW and ROH and in CMLL. And that is Hechicero. Hechicero has been fantastic for us this year. And I'm really excited about Mark Briscoe versus Hechicero this Saturday for the TNT title on Collision. I think that's going to be awesome. A lot of my friends, I mentioned my tape trading buddies from when I was a kid, since I was 12 years old, for 31 years now, and when I went to that show 30 years ago, and they are going to be there for Mark Briscoe versus Hechicero, and they can't wait, so I'm very excited for that. We have a great TNT champion now with Mark Briscoe.
The synergy is amazing. Two final questions. You brought up CMLL. You said there's a possibility of going to more places in Mexico. I know you guys are going to Australia. You guys touched last year, more places in Europe. Are you looking to expand some of the locations you've never been before here in 2026?
Yes, absolutely. I want to continue to tap into those markets that have been so great globally for AEW. You know, All Elite Wrestling is on in 150 countries, over 150 countries now, and we've got great partners. It all starts here with Warner Brothers Discovery. We're very grateful for these relationships, TNT, TBS, HBO Max. It's huge, and around the world, AEW is available on all these different platforms, and we want to go and tap into that. So you've seen AEW expanding, as you said. It's a great point, Ed, going into these new markets, and we're going to continue that in 2026.
And we'll close it out. You know, start of the new year, I'm assuming there's a AEW vision board for you, whether you wrote it out or it's in your head. So when it comes to that vision board, what are some of the things that you want to do with AEW this year?
Yeah, I got to be careful with what I write down because, you know, I'm multitasking. I'm at NFL games and AEW. And one time I think I was sketching things out in the morning in my notebook for Full Gear 2021. People saw, I didn't want them to see my football notes. So thinking, okay, well, they aren't going to see my football notes. So I flipped it over to the other side and it was my ideas for Full Gear. And that's still a pretty good photo. And I was like, well, as long as they don't see my football notes, and honestly, the Full Gear card was pretty cool. And that was about 90% of where we got with it. So it was pretty great. But I write down a lot of ideas, but I also keep a lot of ideas in my head. As you said, global expansion is a huge part of it, continuing to ride the momentum and showing people that AEW is where the best wrestle. That's my vision and my dream for 2026.
And again, as we close this out, I just want to thank you and everyone in the company that have helped out the show, joining us and spending some time with us. So, Tony, happy new year and best of luck in 2026, my friend.
Hey, best of luck to you and congratulations on 100 episodes, man. That's awesome. And I really appreciate you having me as your 100th guest for your 100th show.
Boom, February 4th, Dynamite Collision at the Palms. Get your tickets at AEWTix.com and AXS.com. Peace.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Don't you dare be sour. Clap for Unlikely with Adrian Hernandez and feel the power.